But I want to read you another passage of scripture here. It's got a few verses to it, but I think it's going to set us up to where we're going here this morning. Now, Ezekiel was in captivity in Babylon, and he had been given many steps to the part, to this vision that the Lord had shown to him, and we're going to read one of the steps in that vision that he had given him, and it's found in Ezekiel chapter 47, starting with verse 1. It says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, which is about 1,750 feet, and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there.'" Oh boy. "For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by from En-Gedi to En-Gileam. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of some of the kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine." Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that it's encouraging. And Father, as we delve into your word this morning, I believe that your Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts and to our minds to reveal things to us that we never saw before, but we will see in this moment. We thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Title of my sermon is All In. So to be all in, what's that mean? It means to be completely committed to everything, which much, very, very much in favor of something every step of the way. And this is what our service is all about. To be completely committed to something in every area, in every step, all the way in. Just as they were here. And we'll go through some of these verses here in a minute. We'll break them down. But we've got to get to the point where as believers that we're not coming to church just to come to church, because that's what we do, is come to church on Sunday morning, come to church. Can I say come to church one more time? We're not here just to come to church. We're here to participate in what God's doing on the earth. We all have a calling on our lives. What is a calling? It's the opportunity to participate what God's doing here on the earth. Each of us walks in that area of our lives. And so as we're all in here this morning, we're going to be all in listening. We're going to be all in taking this in, listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. So if somebody wants to go all in their job, what do they got to do? They've got to commit more to their job. They've got to put forth a little bit more effort in their job. And when they do commit more in their job and they do put more effort in their job, what happens? Well, there's a benefit to that. When I was working at the prison, we had what they called SPIs. They were special pay increases. I got special pay increases because I went above and beyond what was expected of me. I anticipated things that needed to be done and did them. And so if we're going to be going all in the things of God, we need to anticipate what needs to be done, go above and beyond what needs to be done, walk out His word, not just hear His word, but walk that His word out, put it into practice in our everyday lives. The Bible is so practical that we should be able to take it and say, I see how that applies in my situation. Because there's not a situation that we go through that the answer isn't in the Bible. That somebody in the Bible has already gone through it. But we got to be all in order to recognize those things. And part of being all in is knowing what the Word of God says. We got to know what the Word of God says. If we want to go see this church, and churches in general, but I'm speaking this church here, if we want to see this church here go further and go higher, what do we got to be? All in. I said from the very beginning, probably the first Sunday that I came here, I can't do this alone. If we, the vision that I have and the things that I want to see done that the Lord's placed in me, I can't do it alone. He's brought me to Life Point Church because He says Life Point Church is going to come alongside you and they're going to help you do these things. And we've already started to see that. From the moment that we got here, we felt welcomed. We had people come over and help move us in. We had people take us to their home and have supper that very night. We felt welcome from the time that we were here. We've continued to have people come alongside us in so many different ways because there's a call on our lives to be at Life Point Church because there's things that need to be done in the city of Mattoon and Charleston and all these surrounding areas. You have almost 50,000 people in this county that need to be reached with the love of God. Some people go to churches, but there are so many people who don't. There are so many people who they're probably sitting at the local restaurant right now. When really we need to get people in here, our purpose is to win people to the Lord. And how do we do that? We go all in. I have a sister-in-law who died probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And she was in the hospital, and she was dying of cancer. And, of course, one of the first people she called at that moment was my wife, Carrie, who's in the toddler's room right now. She wanted to talk to Carrie. Well, Carrie, at that moment, she was able to pray with her to receive Jesus. She never had. She's almost 50 years old, 40-some years old, had not received Jesus in her life. And then another lady came in. Her name was Paula, and Paula took her through the same thing again. But when Paula finished praying with her, my sister Mindy said, "Did you hear that?" And we're like, "What do you mean, Mindy? No, we didn't hear anything." She said, "It was a door that was slamming, and it was angry." I go out in the hallway and say, "Man, Lord, what's that all about? What do you mean a door that slammed that was angry?" He said, "Satan had a hold on her. And when she accepted Jesus as her Savior," he said, "that last hold that he had on her, that door was slammed shut, and he didn't like it." So our purpose as believers is to, the reason we exist is to win the lost. And if we're going to do that, we have to be all in. We got to say, I've got these business cards in my hand, and it says, "Be my guest. Be our guest." It's got all the vital information about Life Point Church. But you're not just handing them a card and saying, "Here you go. Come on to Life Point." No, man, you come to Life Point. Your life will be changed. Because the Word of God is going to be preached unapologetically from the pulpit. You'll be here over the next few years, and you'll hear me saying things you may not like. But guess what? It's only going to be the Bible. I may not like the things that I'm preaching, you know, when the Lord shows them to me. But you know what? It's in the Bible. So my sister-in-law is in heaven to this day. Addicted to drugs, all kinds of things. Things she did in her life. But you know what? It doesn't matter. When he saved her, she became what? A new creature. Old things were passed away. She's brand new now. And she's in heaven. She'll be there for eternity. This Ezra project that we've been talking about here this morning. In order for that to be successful, you've got to be all in. The things that God wants to do, and I'm not just talking about structurally things that we're going to be doing here at Life Point. I'm talking about outreach. There's different things that are going to happen here that we have to be all in. We have to, let's see here. That's my debit card. There's some money on that. I got to be willing to put that bad boy in there and say, hey, I'm all in. You look at most people's checkbooks and you'll know what they're all in with. Ouch. Ooh, I'll get off of that one. That one hurt too much. Me, no. But no, it's true. You'll know where people's hearts are. You'll know what they're full of. You know what they're all in on. And I really believe that there's a work that needs to be done here, and it's going to be done starting with me. Believe me, you'll see. If nothing else, that thing will increase by a small amount every week because I'll be the one giving into it. But I know I won't be the only one. I know that you all are walking with me, and we want to see things done here. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Very familiar passage. Y'all have heard it before, but you know what? It bears repeating. It bears reminding ourselves of this passage. But Jeremiah 29:11, I'll go over here to my announcement table. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." And verse 12, it says, "And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Whoo! "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you're all in, I will show you things that you'd never seen before in your life. When you seek me wholeheartedly. He says he'll hear you when you pray. He says he's going to give you a future. He's going to give you a hope. There's a confident expectation in your future that he is in it and it is going to be good. I know what I think toward you. I've got things in store for you. But you got to be all in. You can't be on the fringes and think that you're going to receive the great things and the best that God has for you sitting out on the fringes. You got to seek him wholeheartedly. And when you seek him wholeheartedly, when you are all in, what happens? He hears you when you pray. Some of the other things, there's payoffs to being all in also. And, I mean, we'll get down to the giving and to the finances. What's the payoff? If you're being obedient, like Kevin was talking about in Malachi, it says, "Test me and see, and basically give, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven, and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you so much that you can't contain it," is what the verse says. So what's the benefits of your giving, and giving in faith, and giving in love, and giving in obedience? Blessings pour out on you. You don't give just to get the blessing, but that's the payoff. That's the benefit of giving. And so if we're going to be all in, then our finances have to be all in also. Most preachers don't like to preach on finances because they think that the people are thinking about that. Well, he's just up there trying to get my money. I'm not trying to get your money. This boat's going to float whether you give or not. But I believe that you guys are people of faith. I believe that you guys are people who want to see the hand of God move, not only here, but in this community. So I believe that you are going to be faithful. You're going to be all in also with your finances. And the payoff is, you'll receive a blessing so much that you can't contain it. Whew. Man, Carrie and I remember when, well, we've had a budget for years. Still have a budget. And at the very top, we had two different columns because I got paid two every 2 weeks. But the very first thing listed on those columns was our tithe. At least 10% of what we made was always at the top of the columns, and then we worked our way down, and if it looked like when we got to the bottom that there wasn't going to be enough to pay whatever bill it was, I'd say, "Okay, Lord, all the silver and gold are yours, and the cattle on 1,000 hill are yours. You have to kill a cow, because I got the utility bill to pay over here." And the thing of it is, we never went without. We never missed a bill because we trusted in him. So doing all we can do together to see the kingdom of God advanced in faith, the payoff, pleasing God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Doesn't say you can sometimes please him. No, if you don't, whatever we're doing, this all in, if it's not done in faith, expecting him to move in the areas which we're believing for, then it's not pleasing to him. You're trying to do it on your own willpower. And willpower runs out after a while. You get tired. But you know what? Jesus doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep. I like to sleep. Anybody like to sleep? Of course, I laid awake in bed till like 11 o'clock, just thoughts going through my head. Finally, I had to tell my brain, okay, mine, it's time to turn off. It's time to go to sleep. But anyway, but one of the words that kept coming up to me throughout this whole preparation of this lesson was a word that I didn't know the meaning of for a long time. And that was the word synergy. Now, somebody might have said, well, that's sin and the energy that's behind it. No, that's not what it is. I might have thought that. But no, synergy is basically, and I'll read the definition, but I'll put it in my own words too. It says a combined power of a group of people when they are working together that is greater than the total power achieved by each working separately. Teamwork at its best results is a synergy that can be very productive. We try to do this on our own. Man, there's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. But man, when we work together, we do this together, we go all in together, man, there's so much more that can be accomplished in the kingdom of God. But it's a choice that we make whether we're going to go all in or not. We can come to church and get our Happy Meal snack and jump in our car and go back home. Nobody ever knew we were here. We can do that and still be saved. Still going to heaven. But you're not going to reap the benefits of the things that the Word of God says that you are and that you have because you are in Him and you want to work together. So many examples in the book of Acts where the people came together and they were in unity. And we're going to have a lesson on that before too long. But talking about unity and the things that were accomplished. And they said that after the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, the guy who denied Jesus got up on the day of Pentecost and preached the greatest sermon probably ever preached. Said 3,000 souls were added to their body after that day. Yikes. There's more than 3,000 people here in Mattoon. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take us going all in, uniting together, and having that attitude of we exist to win the lost, and we invite them to church. It seems like something so simple, but it is. A lot of people don't come to church because they haven't been invited. You invite them and they come. And so if we go all in and we're doing it with an attitude of faith and we're doing it to see the kingdom of God advance, the payoff to that, the benefit of that is seeing people one to the kingdom. And that's what we're about here. But it requires the synergy, of the people in this church working together as a team to accomplish that. So what does all of it look like? What does the synergy aspect of it look like? Somebody was, and I've had somebody here already telling me these things. It says, he told me, he says, whatever you need, just ask. I'm all in. Whatever I need, just ask? Man, I could fill your plate up quick. But I also told him, I said, no, let's just start with a couple of things. But a person will say, whatever you need, just ask. I'm all in. What does it cost? I'll give. I'm all in. The pastor just got into my billfold, just got into my purse. No, I didn't. I'm not going to demand anybody give anything. But if you're all in, that's the attitude you'll have. Okay, how much time will it take? Doesn't matter. I'm all in. On a work project, now this is me personally, and I know some other people that are probably like this. On a work project, I'm going to be the first to arrive, and I'm going to be the last to leave. Why? Because I'm all in. When we had our work day out back here, the guys that showed up, man, they did a fantastic job. We weren't able to even consider another insurance company for the church until that was fixed. The guys came in that day, and what, 2.5 hours we had it knocked out. Of course, I think we ended up going 3 hours, 3.5 hours. I told them, we're only coming for 3 hours, and we went 3.5, so I ended up paying overtime for these 6 guys for that extra 30 minutes. How much do you guys get on that? A reward in heaven, that's what it was. Yeah, you got the reward in heaven. So to be successful at anything, you got to be all in. I have a friend of mine, her brother-in-law was a Major League Baseball player for 12 years, played for the Houston Astros. And then he was the third base coach for the Boston Red Sox, and he was also the third base coach for the Tampa Bay Rays. I heard her brother-in-law. So his all thing, everything he did to get to that level was centered around baseball. He was all in. People talk about you eat, you sleep, and you dream, and you think, and he did that all about baseball. He was out on the field when everybody else went home. When he was growing up, playing in the different traveling leagues and things like that, he stayed out on the field and he did those extra batting practices. He did those extra fielding practices and things like that. So from the view of the baseball world, he was successful. Why? Because he was all in. When I started playing disc golf, you'll probably hear, I'm creating a blog, a disc golf blog, that'll be presented every Monday when we're getting it all worked out, doing the filming and things like that. But I played disc golf. Never heard of disc golf before until I moved to Oklahoma and met some guys out there that play. And so it got to the point where I was living in Illinois, owned a home for 29 years, all the responsibilities that go on with that. And then I move out to Oklahoma to go to Bible school, and we're in a two-bedroom apartment. I had nothing to do. And so I was introduced to disc golf. Well, I was playing 3 and 4 times a week. But in order to get to the point where I felt like I was a decent player, I was watching disc golf videos on YouTube. I was watching instructional videos on YouTube. I was going out to the practice field, and I was taking what I learned on YouTube and practicing those things out there. I learned from other people who played disc golf, and they would show me different techniques and things like that in order to get to the point where I could play. And now I can go out on a course. I played in 2 tournaments. I finished 6th in my first. I finished 2nd in my 2nd tournament that I played in. And I feel like I can play a decent game of disc golf. But what did it take? It took me going and spending time doing something over and over and over again, being bought into what I was doing, being all into what I was doing, to be able to get to the point where I could play disc golf to where I felt like I was comfortable and could compete with anybody. The things of God, you have to be all in. You have to constantly be in the Word. You have to constantly be walking out the Word. If you want to see what's happening in the Word, happening in your life, you've got to be in it and you've got to be walking it out. It is so practical to your everyday life. But you got to be all in. You have to be all in. At LifePoint Church, this is a church of, we may want to rename it, LifePoint Church, the Church of All In. We'll see. We'll think about that one. Going back to verse 3 in Ezekiel chapter 47, it says, and when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. You notice that every step that was taken, it was measured. It was thought out. It was checked out. This guy that was leading him, remember, you're not leading him, he's leading you. We're being led by the Holy Spirit, and he knows what's out there. He's bringing you along. He's showing you. He's measuring each step. You don't have to be concerned that you're going to fall off into the deep end, because he has measured the steps that taking you along at the level where you may be at. Maybe you can't swim in the deep end yet. Sometimes you've seen people just throw their kids and, hey, swim. No, he's not just going to throw you in the deep end and say, here, go ahead and swim. He's going to walk you out. It's been calculated. It's been measured. He's going to show you which direction and how far you can go. It says, and then it goes, God has a plan for our lives. He has each step ordered. He will walk with us. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to walk away from you. He says, I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. In this verse here, it says that he's going to walk with us. He says, to the east of his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through. So he's walking with us, brought me through the waters, and it was ankle deep. Turn with me to Psalms 37. We're looking at verse 23 and 24, verses that you've heard before already. But God will not take you or leave you in a place beyond what you're able to handle. He's going to walk with you. He's going to measure. He's going to show you. In Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 and 24, and it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ooh, his steps are ordered. It says here that he took him by the hand. He measured it out, and he's walking him out. He's walking him out until it was ankle deep. All those steps. Here it says his steps were ordered. His delight is in his ways. Though he fall, you might fall, you might trip. Even though the water shallow, you might trip. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Took him by the hand here, measured the steps, held on to him so he wouldn't fall, so he wouldn't stumble. The Lord was always with him. In verse 4, it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. It's getting deeper and deeper. More and more, he's going all in. He started here. Now he's going a little further. Now he's out a little further. He's going a little bit more. He's going all in. He's not. And the thing of it is, the guy is following him. He trusts his guide. He's measuring it out there. Come on. Come on. He's trusting in what his guide is taking. We have something here. Some people say, well, how do you know how the Lord's speaking to you? How do you know if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? He's speaking to you right here. He's wanting to guide you. He's wanting to hold your hand. And this is your guide. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's showing you. You don't have to be worried about that. Again, he measured 1,000, took him up to the knees, then it took him up to his waist. Each step in obedience in Christ will take you a little bit deeper into his will for you. Keep trusting, keep following. What you have to offer is much needed in the place that you are all in. It might be only ankle deep that you're all in, but right there, what you have is needed. This body needs it. The people that you come in contact need it. I went to a church in Mississippi and preached down there a few months back. And a lady at the door met me, never met her before, and just smiled. Some people think, no big deal, good morning, smiled at me, and I walked on in. And as I was up there preaching, the Lord reminded me, she brought a supply to that door that you needed. Her supply that day might have only been ankle deep, but she smiled at you. Everybody has a supply that they need to be bringing here. There are people in the church right now that are coming alongside of us that have some expertise in some areas. It's much needed here. And I appreciate expertise. But what I appreciate more is somebody who is faithfully all in. You may not have the skills that somebody else has, but if you're faithful, I'll take that over skill. If you can't sing, but you can worship, there's a lot of times I'll take a bad vocal over somebody who can sing well if I got the vocal who is really worshiping the Lord. I want people who are faithful, people who are bought in, people who love the Lord, people who want to worship him in spirit and truth, whatever. And you know, but you got to be all in. I love faithfulness. And I know that we're going to have people here coming right alongside of us that are faithful. They are skilled at the same time. In verse 5 it says, and again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. It may appear uncrossable, like you may drown. It might even be scary. But he said he's got your hand. He's always got your hand. Now, it doesn't show that they went swimming in the river and they did somersaults and they did played with the fishes and the dolphins and all that type of stuff. It didn't say anything about that. But it says that he led him back to the bank. So if he led him back to the bank, he still had hold of him. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it's scary, which there's nothing scary in the kingdom of God. It's all good. He's always got your hand. He's always going to keep you. He's always going to take care of you. In verse 8, it says, now this is the payoff. This is the payoff from going ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then all the way in. It says here in verse 8, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea where it reaches the sea. Its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. You buy in. You're ankle deep in that river, you're knee deep, you're waist deep, and you go all the way in. There's a song about that. But you go all the way in, you're flowing in these rivers here. You're seeing these rivers, you're flowing with the Spirit of God, and things are happening in front of you. Things are being healed. Fishermen are getting great catches of fish, big fish, enormous fish. All these things are happening. And we go on here in verse 9. It says, it shall be that the living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by from the En-Gedi and the En-Gleim. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many because they went all in. They didn't stop at ankle deep, knee deep, or waist deep. They saw that this river that flows deep and wide and swift, they're seeing that the things are being healed on the banks. They're seeing that fish waters are being turned from salt to fresh. They're seeing that fishermen are catching these great catches of fish and, you know, going all in. Those are the types of things that you're going to see being led by the Spirit of God. But if we're not going to go all in, we're going to come to church on Sunday morning and we're going to eat our Happy Meal snack and we're going to go home. Go to heaven, but we're not going to experience the benefits of going all in. These are some of the benefits of this river that flows that we are to jump into, that He's leading and guiding us, hanging on to our hand, measuring out how deep it is. These are some of the benefits of us jumping into this river and going all in. Go on here in verse 11. This is if you don't go with it. It says, but the swamps and the marshes will not be healed. We can sit in swamps and marshes. They stink. It's stagnant water. You can be a stagnant church. LifePoint will not be a stagnant church. I guarantee you that. I won't let you. No. But it will not be a stagnant church. But you can live in that life to where you begin to stink. And nothing lives there in your life. There's nothing active going on in your life. There's things that are dying off in your life. You're wondering, why is this happening to me? Well, number one, bad things do happen in the world, but as a believer, you have authority over those things. But you got to be all in to know that you have authority. You have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. That's the authority you have. But you got to be all in to walk in that. Wow, that hurt. So anyway, verse 12, along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. These leaves will not wither and your fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the waters flow from the sanctuary. Jump in the flow. You jump in the flow, things are flourishing. Food is happening. Leaves are growing. The fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Jump in the flow. You got to go all in if you're going to jump in the flow. Have you ever jumped into, you go into the deep end, I mean, you better know how to swim, you know, number one, I mean, or a lifeguard close by. But you go into the deep end, to me, it's a lot more fun. Everybody ever gone off a diving board? The first time you ever gone off a dive board, might have been a little bit nervous, but going off a dive board, once you learn how to do it, man, it's just fun to swim in the deep end. There's just so much freedom in the deep end. There is a ton of freedom in the deep end with Jesus, flowing in that river that He has for us, learning to flow in the things of the Spirit. That's another thing. We're going to flow in the things of the Spirit here. Words will come forth. Things like that are going to happen to where He's going to reveal things to us. So that when we leave this place, we don't have to guess, wonder, or hope what's going to happen. We already know because He's already shown us. Hallelujah. Whew. So the question is, what keeps us from going all the way in and experiencing the goodness that God has in store? What keeps us from doing that? Well, I wrote down a few things that might be some possibilities. And one of them is fear of the unknown. I've never done that before. I've never been there before. I've never prayed out loud in front of anybody before. I remember the first time I did that, it was a little nervy. But you know what? And then I was talking here a few weeks ago, about how I led prayer at another church up north of here. And the pastor was out of town, so they would have prayer before the service, then they'd have a meal, and they would have service. So I took the chairs. I think there might have been 16 people at this prayer. And I took the chairs, and I turned 8 this way and 8 other chairs facing those chairs. And literally, they were sitting from here to that stand. That's how far they were apart. And we were going to have prayer meeting. You think it was uncomfortable having to sit right in somebody's face and pray? Close enough to spit on each other. But they're praying right like that, you know. And you could tell in the beginning it was a little bit nervy, you know. But as the Spirit of God started moving, I mean, all of a sudden, just like, boom, it just exploded. I mean, people were praying out loud. They didn't care who was sitting in front of them because they sensed the Spirit of God there, and they knew that what they were praying, He was hearing what they said. I mean, the Bible says in 1 John 5:14 is that this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. They started moving in that sense right there, that when we're praying, man, He's hearing us. We have a confident expectation that He's hearing us. And so they jumped. It's not there. All in. They were all in at that moment. Once again, if things are going to happen in our churches, in our personal lives, you got to be all in. You have to. If you want to be successful at anything outside of this, you got to be all in. Wow. Another reason is I don't trust them. Whew. I don't trust that preacher. You can trust me. But they might say, I don't trust him. They say, well, I'm saved. That's good enough. I go to church. Or some people might think, well, I'm not good enough. Who said you're not good? Who told you you're not good enough? Who told you that you're not good enough to go all in? There's only one person that would tell you that. And that's Satan himself. There's value in every person in this room. I want to be able to draw that out of every person in this room. But there's value in you. And so to say that you're not good enough to really dive into the things of God, I don't have anything to offer, stop it. I used to tell people, get over yourself. Because God says you're much more than that. Whew. Or, man, to go all in, man, it's too hard. It's too hard. I've been in this boat. I worked all week. The last 10 years I worked at the prison, I worked 12 hours a day, every day. I was tired on Wednesday nights when church time came around, and I even thought about not going. And I was on the worship team. But I went anyway. And when I went, I was glad that I did, because I got what I needed. Now, working those 12 hours a day for all those years, there was a payoff for that. I retired at 51 years old after working 26 years, and they're paying me a 30-year pension right now because all that money goes toward my retirement. So now, when I went to Bible school, I didn't have to work. Now, I still had to operate in faith every day, but I could buy in. I could be all in the culture of Rhema. We volunteered in a number of different areas. I was part of, and I didn't even have a truck or trailer, but I organized 25 different moves for people in the 3 years that we were out there and was there on each one of them. Pianos, we're doing it. But I was all in whatever it was. Serving in the church there, I was an usher. I was volunteered when they had water baptism. I was a student ambassador. I was in a prayer group. Just a number of different areas because I wanted to be all in. I wanted to experience all that God had for me in this season of my life. I've been here at Life Point Church for a month now. I went 18 days straight and didn't take a day off. I wanted to be all in here. I wanted to see what was going on here. I wanted to fix, not, and there really wasn't anything to fix, but I wanted to figure out, and the previous pastor, Matt and Kat, they were extremely helpful in a lot of areas. Good friends of ours, I consider them to this day. But there were so many things that I needed to learn that was going on here. But in order to do that, I had to be all in. I could have come here and said, well, I'll just preach on Sunday and Wednesday, and that's good enough. Can't do that. Not if you're called to this body and you're going to go all in, you can't do that. If you are called to this body, you can't just show up on Sunday morning and that's it. I've tried my best. It's hard, but I'm going to continue to try to touch base with people throughout this congregation, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text, whether it's stopping by, whether it's trying to find somebody's house and still haven't been able to find it in the daylight yet. But anyway, I've tried. I need to put it in my GPS so I can find it. But anyway, but touching base, going to the hospital in St. Louis because a church member is having surgery. Going here to Effingham to surgery because my family is having surgery. I got to be there. I want to be all in all areas. But once again, if there's ever a time that I can't do it, I ask your forgiveness. I couldn't be there, but I want to be. That's my heart, is to be all in for the people at Life Point Church. And it's my heart to see the Spirit of God move in this place. It's in my heart to see the manifestations of the Spirit happen in this place. And they will. We're not going to force them. It's not going to be forced. If you're trying to force something, then you're doing something in your own ability. So it's not being all in. If you're all in, you're sitting back there and say, okay, Spirit of God, what do you want to do? And be able to yield to it. I preached two Wednesdays ago, and I've told this story already, but I got some nice pretty notes ready to go for my Wednesday night meeting. And we get done praying, about ready to get done praying, and the Lord speaks to me and says, hey, I want you to preach out of Acts chapter 6. I said, well, Lord, I don't have any notes on Acts chapter 6. He says, I know you don't. So what did I do? I took my notes, tossed them off the side, and we taught out of Acts chapter 6. And halfway through the service, one of the people that was in the congregation turned to his wife and said, that message is for us. What if I hadn't listened? What if I hadn't been all in listening to the voice of the Spirit? I'd have preached my notes. And it wouldn't have been as effective. It still would have been effective because when the word goes out, it says it'll accomplish what it was set to do. But it wouldn't have been as effective in that moment for what the people here needed. And from that moment there, when they said, this message is for us, it just exploded. Some areas that we needed help in. And so, I have to be all in. All in starts with me. And you need to be able to sense that I'm all in order to be able to trust me for you guys to be all in. I don't know what you think of me yet, but there's a lot more to reveal. And it's going to be fun, and it may be, you're weird. But there's going to be a lot, you know. But I do like to have fun. And if Pastor Kim were down here again, he would tell you a lot more of the fun that we've had over the years. And I have to be all in first. Now, I was reading these things, you know, it's too hard. I'm content with how things are. That's another reason why we may not want to be all in. But, you know, there's this guy named Frank Clark. One of the things he said, what great accomplishments we would have in the world if everybody had gone all in on what they intended to do. Wow. Another guy named Tony Cook. Some of you may know him. He's in the Rhema circles. It says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. Huh. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. If you don't take the Lord by the hand, He's measuring your steps. Your steps are ordered by Him. If you don't take His hand and follow Him, you say, nah, then you'll always just stand on the bankside. You won't even experience the water coming up to your ankles. Anybody ever walked along the beach and the water coming up to your ankles and knees? It's kind of fun, you know? But you won't even experience that. You'll live in lack in your life in all areas if you're not willing to step out. If you're content just staying back here doing what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always been. We don't want to be there, and we're not going to be there. Ephesians chapter 4, real quickly, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Hey, I'm a gift. I'm a gift to you. It says here in verse 12, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Okay, now this is for me. That's for me. This is a message to me. I have to be all in. I could have went to Rhema and continued to serve there. Carrie and I were both retired. It would have been easy to stay in Oklahoma in that Christian bubble that they have out there. You go to Walmart and they tell you God bless you before you leave. You know, it's just that kind of a bubble out there. But no, there was a call on me to come to this church, and by church I mean to you people. In verse 13, it says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, and we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ." Verse 14, it says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with these lies, so clever they sound like truth." Verse 15, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more." The more and more you get all in, the more and more you do something, the more and more you continue in a certain way, the more and more mature you will be, and you won't be able to be pushed one way or another. You'll be walking in the path and the call that God has on your life, but you got to be all in. Ephesians 4:16, it says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." When we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, I'm going to say Life Point Church, when everybody here is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then the body works properly, the body is healthy, and we're seeing great things done for the kingdom of God. But if somebody is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then we're not as healthy. They always seem to walk with a limp maybe or a slight little cough or whatever it may be because everybody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. As I'm going to close out here in just about 2 minutes, but what I wanted to say, it was just kind of funny. I looked at some wedding vows. Anybody think that wedding vows are considered maybe all-in type things? I didn't get one yes out of that. Wedding vows are all in things. But I was looking at this, and what some of your modern, maybe your wedding vows, something maybe the woman would say. "Today, I say, I do. But to me, that means I will. I will take your hand, stand by your side. In the good and the bad, I dedicate myself to your happiness, your success, and a smile. I will forever love you." That's good, right? Well, you had some guys' vows here too. Forgive me. "I promise to never keep score, even when I'm clearly winning. When I say I do, I don't mean the dishes. I promise to love you for eternity and trust you with my credit card. I vow to always put you first, even during football season. I'm all in." Supposed to be funny. I didn't get too many laughs from the women, but it's supposed to be funny. But anyway, but no, it's wedding vows are another tangible thing that we can look at that shows, man, you got to be all in. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. I know people have been divorced in their lives, and I know that there are some circumstances that, you know, warrant it. But when we're married, it's an all-in situation. I heard a pastor one time said, "I make it my goal to outserve my wife. And she in turn makes it her goal to outserve him." Why? Because they're all in. So in your walk with Jesus, in order to experience all that he has for you in him, there has to come a point when you say, "I'm ankle deep, I'm waist knee deep, I'm waist deep, and I'm all the way in." So, people here at Life Point and those who will be coming to Life Point, if you can identify with the direction this church is going, I'm asking you to trust me to be led by the Holy Spirit to get us there. And I'm asking you to be all in with me in whatever area that we're endeavoring to go. He's endeavoring to lead us. want to do church anymore. I don't want to be a casual Christian. That's a Christian and doing Christian things when it's convenient. Because sometimes things aren't convenient. Sometimes I will do things to my own hurt because I said I'll do something. It may cost me what I feel it's cost me, but I said I'll do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm all in. If I tell you I'm going to do it, I'll be there. But that's what I'm asking the people of Life Point and those of you who will be coming to Life Point, is to come alongside me. Let's do this thing together. And we're going to flip this town upside down. We're going to see great things happening to the people here in Mattoon, Charleston, and surrounding areas. Things that they're going to say, man, I can't believe that just happened. Well, I can. Because I'm all in. I'm going to do whatever he's called me to do. Whatever he tells me to do. And I'm asking you to come alongside me and do the same thing. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your direction. I thank you that you love each and every one of us. I thank you that you find value in each and every one of us, that each and every one of us has a supply to bring to the table, that we can say, here's my supply, Lord, I'm all in. And Lord, as we've received this word, we don't leave it here. We don't tuck it away in our Bible. We don't tuck it away in our purse. But we wear it out here on our sleeves. We wear it out here on our chest and on our face. But most of all, Father, in our mouths and in our actions. So that the people see that, man, we are totally ate up with you. We are totally involved with you. We are totally bought in to the direction that you are going. And we're being led by your Spirit. And we're seeing the supernatural happen in our midst. So we thank you, Father, that we don't leave you here, but we take you with us. And you have our hand. You're calculating our steps. You guide our steps, and we're walking right alongside of you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Now, before we dismiss, I never like to end a service without giving someone the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. As I said earlier, we exist to win the lost. And so I'm going to ask if there's anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come down here. And I want to pray with you. I can't pray with you if I don't know who you are. I also want to ask if there's anybody here that they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, but you're really not following it the way you know that you should be. Maybe you're not all in at this point, and you want to be. And you want to make a public declaration that says, I'm all in. What do you need? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Life Point Church, where can I plug in? I want to ask you to come also. On either one of those calls, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to come forward right now. I'm going to come down, and I'm going to pray with you just like I said I would. We're not going to take all morning and wait, but I just wanted to give you that opportunity before we close out this service to come. And if that's you, I ask you to come now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It appears we're good here. I just wanted to end by just encouraging you that this might sound bad in some circles, but he needs you. You are his hands and his feet on this earth. He needs you to participate in the work that he's doing here on this earth. So as you leave here today, take that with you, that the Lord wants to use you in whatever situation you find yourself in. And the situations are always there. We just need to recognize them and grab a hold of them and just act in the way he's asked us. So if you're a Life Point member now, I'm asking you to come alongside me, to come all in. If you're not a Life Point member right now and you see where we're going, I'm asking you, come alongside of us and join right in. There's a lot of things that's going to be happening here, and I'm excited to be a part of it. So I want to thank you guys for coming. Anybody who may have been watching us online, I want to thank you for joining us also. And we're going to be meeting every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we invite you to come back. And if you're local, we invite you to come on out to our LifePoint Church here at 1313 South 9th Street. And we will look forward to seeing you and look forward to seeing the great things and hearing about the great things that God does in your life and in your family. I thank you for it. Praise God.